Sermon tonight, when the wind is strong, John chapter 6, 15 through 24. Jesus, knowing that they, the crowd that he had just fed, the 5,000, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake to Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." They were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Heavenly Father, that's what we do tonight. We search for you. Reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one. Wanting Jesus to follow our agenda. Wanting Jesus to follow our agenda. As Johnny Cash says, you got your own personal Jesus. And that's what we like sometimes, our own personal Jesus to do what we want him to do. We tell him to dance and he dances. Those that Jesus had fed on the mountain now wanted to force Jesus' hand. They wanted to force him to be king. They were looking for a political Messiah who could defeat their Roman oppressors, free them from oppression, free them from a superpower that was over them, and restore Israel to its previous glory. And they had everything they needed, they thought, for a successful revolution. They wanted a revolution. They were looking for that. They had a common enemy. Everybody knows who the enemy is. You start a revolution, you got to figure out who the enemy is first. And they had figured that out. It's Rome and King Herod. Those are the bad guys. We're the good guys. So we have a common enemy to go against. They had leadership. The disciples seemed to know what they're doing. They organized the feeding of the 5,000, so we got the leadership. And we have ample supplies because Jesus is the bread maker. We run low on supplies. Jesus can just multiply whatever we need. So we have a king. We'll force him to be king. Jesus of Nazareth will be our Messiah to start our revolution. Why wait? The timing was perfect. If you read in the chapter, it tells us in John 6, it was Passover. It was near Passover. Passover for Israel is the Jewish 4th of July. That's the day they became a nation. They had fireworks and, you know, military parades. They just celebrated. That was an Independence Day. Nationalism was in the air. This is the time to start a revolution. So they wanted to grab Jesus by force and make him their king. See, every Passover, the Israelites expected a Messiah to come. The anointed one, someone like David or Solomon. And they thought, I mean, he fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. Surely this can be the Messiah. Even the disciples wanted this. The disciples, they wanted Jesus to be this political, military Messiah. Even after Jesus is crucified and his resurrection, the disciples were still asking this question in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Lord, you've risen from the grave now. Surely this is the time to start the revolution now. Lord, is now the time you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So that question just weighs. Are you going to do this? We got our common enemy, Rome, Herod. Are you going to do something about it now? There is a lot of confusion in John chapter 6. But it's not because Jesus wasn't making it clear. It was because their own personal agendas blinded them to who Jesus really is. And that can happen to me sometimes. And that can happen to you sometimes. Number two. Jesus rejected. He rejected the way the crowd wanted him to be king. Jesus rejected the way the people wanted him to be king. The crowd wanted him to be king. Disciples, he took off again. He's always doing that. So the disciples go down to the lake. Most of them are fishermen, so they know the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. They boarded the boat, and we'll go back to the home base of operation, back to Capernaum. Jesus will show up eventually. He always does. And they're confused. Peter's mumbling to himself, I don't understand. I don't understand. We had 5,000 people. We had 5,000 men, not counting women and children. They were ready to start a revolution. It was a perfect opportunity to become king, and Jesus blew it. He fed 5,000 men. 5,000. That number, it's significant. Do you know how many men were in a Roman military legion? You know how many men were in a legion of Roman soldiers? 5,000. Peter's like, we got an army. Don't think he wasn't thinking that, because he was. We have an army the size of a Roman legion. If it was ever going to be time, it's time. And they were ready to fight. All he had to do was give the word, but he didn't. Maybe he's not the real Messiah after all. I don't know if Peter thought that, but just in general, that thought had to go through the air. Maybe we've been giving our lives to the wrong person. If you're going to be a Christ follower, you need to have a high tolerance for ambiguity. For not having all your answers whenever you want them. I've not gotten Jesus completely figured out, have you? I can't control him. I definitely can't force him. The Christian faith answers many of our questions. But many times it stirs up even more questions. And Jesus will answer their questions. They do have questions. But right now they are suspect to what Jesus is doing. Jesus will give an answer to their questions. And he'll give an answer to our questions. But it's seldom a nice, neat package wrapped up in pretty paper with a bow on top answer. I would say all the time, the answer that Jesus gives is himself. That's what he offers to us. You have questions, I offer you myself. Because I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus always shows up. He always comes, especially when the wind is strong. especially when we're in the midst of a storm. Jesus heard their voices. They're in the boat. The wind is growing stronger. The sea is getting rough. And Jesus hears the cry. Jesus may have been tempted to build the army, to become the king they wanted him to be king. But he rejects that way. It may have been enticing. If he becomes the king the way they want him to be king, he possibly could avoid the cross for a time until you realize that Rome was not going to be beat. He could have avoided his self-sacrifice for a time. He had an army of followers at his fingertips. But he refused to hear their voice. He rejected their voice because there was one voice Jesus wanted to hear more than any others. Jesus longed to be alone with the Father. Where was Jesus? They were in the boat. Where was Jesus? He went off by himself to be alone with the Father. Rather than with thousands of supporters in the crowd, he wanted to hear the voice of the Father. It wasn't the voice of the crowd that encouraged him. It was the voice of the Father. And we have to get to that place where it's not the voice of the many that keeps us going, although we appreciate the encouragement and we need the encouragement. It's the voice of the Father that we long to hear. Number three. Throughout the night, Jesus watched the disciples as they battled the storm. Throughout the night, Jesus watched the disciples as they battled the storm. Disciples got in the boat. They left without Jesus. They knew that Jesus would be along. He's off doing that praying thing again that he does. Catch up with them later. That's the routine. But Jesus had not yet come to them. The disciples are alone. Then the sea, driven by a great wind, became very rough. And the disciples are caught up in a major storm. Some of you have caught up in a major storm. And they can happen quickly. Storms on the Sea of Galilee can come up quickly. That mountain chain, that those fronts just come over that mountain, hit the Sea of Galilee, that warm air hits that cold air, all of a sudden you got a storm, and it comes quickly, and it can last for hours and days. Storms on the Sea of Galilee were often deadly, even for fishermen. This is they're in the middle of the deadliest catch here, and that even a fisherman can fear for their life when they're caught in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Why wasn't Jesus there when they needed him? In the midst of the storm, in the midst of their distress, why wasn't he there? How many times did they look for him? How many times they're about 3 miles offshore. Maybe they could, the moon's now the lightning would strike. Is that him? Where's he at? What's going on? How many times did they call for him? Why does God let us suffer alone sometimes? Like a loving father, he waited to the right time at the right moment. He waited until he knew it was time to come, and then he showed up. What makes it the right time? What makes mile four better than mile one? I want him to show up at mile one or maybe half a mile. That'd be even better. Why is tomorrow better than today? And I'll give you the perfect answer. I don't know. Why does God wait until the money is gone? Why does God wait till the sickness has lingered? Why does God wait till the relationship is beyond human repair? I don't know. Why does God sometimes choose to wait until the other side of the grave for our prayers of healing to be met? I don't know. But we come to a place where we have to learn to trust his timing is right. Because Jesus, his main goal is to make us complete, is to make us whole, is to make strong disciples, and to make us into people of faith. Not rescue us without going through any storms. But that doesn't mean we are on our own while waiting on Jesus in the midst of the storm. Number four. What does Jesus do while we're encountering the storm? He prays for us. He prays for us. Jesus wasn't in the boat because he had gone to the hills to pray. So Jesus prayed. And Jesus doesn't stop praying when he realizes the disciples are in trouble and struggling. When he heard their cries, when he sees that they're in trouble, he doesn't come right away, he remains in prayer. Why? Well, either he doesn't really care that his disciples are in trouble, and I don't believe that for a second, or he really believes in the power of prayer. I'll go with the second. Prayer is the action that we take when preparing to act. Prayer is the action we take when preparing to act. I heard it a lot this week. People have been upset about our thoughts and prayers go to this group. And they say, well, if you're not going to act, then thoughts and prayers are useless. And I agree with that, because action without prayer is powerless. But prayer without action is meaningless. It takes both. Action without prayer is powerless. Why did Jesus stay to pray? Because he knew his action without prayer, even for the Son of God, because he was fully human, is powerless. But prayer without actions, he has to eventually come walking on the water, is meaningless. But Jesus believes in prayer. And he still believes in prayer. He was praying for his disciples then, and he's still praying for his disciples today. And Jesus promises that he will never stop praying for us and then acting properly after he prays. Hebrews 7:25. Jesus lives to intercede for those who trust in God. Do you trust in God? Well, Jesus lives to pray for you. He lives to pray for you. So while Jesus is praying, and we're in the middle of the storm, what are we to do? Number five. While waiting for Jesus in the middle of the storm, we row the boat. We row the boat. Or as Dory from Finding Nemo says, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. The disciples rowed the boat all night. That's what they did. Waiting for Jesus to show up. You got to keep rowing the boat. They've rowed that boat on the Sea of Galilee in storms before. Here they got to do it again, waiting on Jesus. The routine, the regular, the ordinary is what we do. Much of life is simply about rowing the boat, getting out of bed, fixing breakfast, making lunches, turning in assignments, changing diapers, paying bills, crossing off checklists, getting ready for bed, and then doing it all again for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. There's something beautiful in the ordinary. Don't despise it. I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to go clean First Cutlerville. That's just my plan, the good Lord willing. And then I'm going to study a little bit for Sunday. And then I was supposed to go see Jerry's daughter-in-law tomorrow, but she came home, so that got crossed off my list. And you got something you're going to do tomorrow for the glory of God. And you're open to the Spirit's leading. How you're going to go about your day. But you're going to do it for the glory of God, and you're going to keep rowing the boat. You say, that's just ordinary. Well, there are times for a feast in life. Life's not just all routine. We have feasts and celebrations, and we're going to have another soup supper on March the 7th, I believe it here, is on Wednesday night. And but many times, enough is as good as a feast. Keep on keeping on. Then you just hate it when your teenagers will go, I'm bored. You're like, well, I got plenty you can do. So keep rowing the boat. Don't give up. Don't lay down the oars. When you can't see him in the middle of the storm, trust him and keep rowing. Number 6, at the right time, Jesus will show up walking on the storms, walking on our storms. This scene is just set up for a miracle. John knew what he was doing. He painted a picture. It was dark and a strong wind. And the seas were getting rough. And they're in the middle of the boat, 4 miles from shore. They're just set up for Jesus to show up. We're in the middle of the storm. It's dark. And the seas are rough. And the medical bills are pouring in. And it's getting rough all around you. And your kids are acting crazy. And your grandkids, what's wrong with them? You're just set up for a Jesus to show up walking on the storms. Your life is set up for a miracle. This scene was terrifying for the disciples. Even when they saw Jesus show up walking on the water, the scene was still terrifying for them. But why? Because people don't walk on water. You might be more afraid of Jesus showing up to take care of the storm than you are the storm. The miracle scares the disciples. He has to tell them not to be afraid. And they finally realize it's Jesus. But what good is the miracle? What is the purpose of the miracle? Well, miracles are to draw us closer to God. How does this miracle draw us closer to God? How does this miracle draw the disciples closer to God? What is the point of the miracle? Everything Jesus does has a point. Maybe to teach the disciples in the church that Jesus is Lord of all, including nature, including creation. There is nothing he is not Lord over. Maybe the purpose of the miracle is to teach the church and to teach us and to teach the disciples that in the midst of our storms, Jesus will show up. Maybe to remind them again and us again who Jesus really is. It is I, he says, do not be afraid. If you read that in the Greek, it doesn't say it is I. It says, I am, do not be afraid. I am, do not be afraid. Jesus just takes the name of God. He says, Yahweh, Jehovah, here I am. Don't be afraid. Jesus claims the name of Yahweh, the name of God for himself. He says, you don't have to be afraid because I am. In our age of strong winds, it is important to know we don't have to be afraid because Jesus is I am. And number 7, the miracle within a miracle. The miracle within a miracle. The initial miracle is the storm and the sea and the raging, and the 3 miles out from shore. But as soon as the disciples take Jesus into the boat, on board, immediately, they're at their destination. You get 2 miracles for the price of one. Remember, Jesus' goal, his destination, is believing disciples, strong disciples. And we reach that goal, and disciples reach that goal when we take Jesus into the boat, when we want him in our life, when we believe in him. I can withstand any storm if Jesus is in the boat. I can arrive at my destination where he wants me to be when he's in the boat. I can deal with any problem if I know that Jesus is there. I can arrive at where he needs me to be when I take him into my life. I can go through any difficulty if he's walking with me. I can be a strong disciple when I say, Jesus, we take you into the boat. We take you into our life. Now, what got this miracle started? The breaking of the bread. That's what got the whole thing started, feeding 5,000. Well, tonight, Jesus is going to break the bread again. Show us who he is. He's the God of miracles, the God of creation, the God of enough. And he's going to supply everything we need tonight for life, for health, to be who he's created us to be. So if you're able and you so choose, let's come and let's partake at the Lord's table together.
That the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because
thankful that the bread was broken, your body was broken. Lord, would you do a miracle tonight? And the broken body brings salvation, bring healing, bring hope, everything your people need for life tonight. And at the table of the Lord, as we partake in the body of Christ, would you calm every storm inside of our minds, inside of our hearts, inside of our souls. And give us the strength to keep rowing, to keep going. We do this in remembrance of you. The body of Christ broken for you, receive in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, pray for us tonight. You live to intercede for us. Pray for us tonight. Pray for us in the midst of the storm, O God. Thank you for inviting us to the table. Thank you for offering us the new agreement, the new covenant, the new sacred agreement. We do this in remembrance of you. The blood of Christ poured out for you, receive in Jesus' name.
Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me? Because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Thank you, Lord, you prayed for us. You live to intercede for us. Calm the storm in me. I am yours. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Gracious to every person here. Turn your face towards them and give them peace. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Amen.